With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to Marriage and Martinis. I'm Adam. Here is Danielle.
Hi. Adam's going to tell you what we're talking about today.
Yes, Danish parenting.
Oh, good.
Oh, come on, I'm not stupid. I edited for 10 seconds.
Oh, so you do know. All right. But you have to listen to the episode this week, though, because I want to implement some of this stuff and I need you on board.
Well, I do because I know, I mean, she comes from...
Denmark.
Exactly.
Well, that's one of the Danish Denmark. Wow.
Places in the world, right? Aren't people like...
That's Disney World.
That's magical places.
No, that's... what's it called? Oh, yeah, the most magical place
right.
on Earth.
Aren't people like in Denmark... Aren't us as Americans know them to be
yes.
living like, wow, perfect lives, kind of? You know
what
I'm
saying?
Well,
that's one thing she tries to point out in the episode. She says, listen, there's no utopia, but they're doing pretty good.
But it seems like they got a good head on their shoulders and they kind of got it going on. They know what they're doing.
They got it going on in Denmark. They do.
Damn right.
It's like you talk to her and she sounds so calming and everything. And you and I are like, they got it going on.
Right.
And that Jersey angst comes out.
Yeah. Turn on the Sopranos in Denmark.
Yeah, there you go. That's us. But anyway, I spoke to Eben Sendell. I reached out to her because I have been following her on Instagram for a while. And I just always am so fascinated by the Denmark, Norway, Amsterdam, all of those. But I always look at those countries and I'm fascinated by how they are raising the happiest people in the world consistently every year. They're the top three happiest country, Denmark. And Eben is an internationally acknowledged public speaker, psychotherapist, best-selling author of The Danish Way of Parenting, What the Happiest People in the World Know About Raising Confident, Capable Kids, and an educator who wants to offer parents an alternative to high-stress modern parenting, equipping them with the tools and knowledge to raise confident, happy children. And I was so enamored with her because you can tell it just comes so naturally. And listen, they're a much smaller country. They have been practicing these methods that she talks about for years and years. I know I'm not going to be able to completely copy what she's doing, but even if I can sprinkle some of it here and there, and I think I can, like a lot of what she talks about is super easy, I think, to introduce into your daily routine as a parent. And so I'm excited to do it. She talks about hygge, which is where all the family comes together and has family time. We talk about how their schools are different, how mothers are treated differently when they have kids at first, and what makes that so wonderful. We spoke about a lot. And also she talks about the balance between, with COVID, how some of us are trying so hard to create a calming place for our children, while we also need to be able to vent and show our stress, and what a delicate balance that is that I feel like I'm constantly struggling with. And I know so many parents out there are. So enjoy. Check out her book, available on Amazon or wherever you get your books, The Danish Way of Parenting. We literally hit the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more that she has to share. And I hope we have her back on. So enjoy, Eben.
First of all, I wanted to ask you how you're doing. I don't know, what is life in Denmark like right now?
Well, right now it's not normal, of course. We are all very much affected by the COVID-19, but there's no lockdown anyway, any places. So schools are alive and everyone is working, but with a lot of precautions, of course. But right now it's we're turning red in some areas of Denmark because there's a high, it's increasing the level of people who get sick by corona. So we are very much aware, but no lockdowns so far.
That's great. And are the kids are in school full time?
They are. We had 3.5 months in the spring where they were locked down. But now they are in school full time. Yes.
Wearing masks or?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Masks.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. You guys are doing really well. I'm so jealous.
Well, I mean, no mask, no, but they have divided the students into smaller groups, and they have to wash hands all the time. And so, of course, there's a lot of rules they have to follow, but no masks, no.
That's great. I know. I was just telling you that I'm in the middle of, like, it's 11 a.m. here, and I have one child. My daughter is upstairs doing virtual. I have two boys coming home within an hour from different schools. They're only half day, and then tomorrow they're home, and it's just like it could make your head explode, all the logistics. It's so crazy. Yeah. I wanted to talk to you, though. I have been following you for a while on Instagram, and I always love what you post. I'm always so interested, first of all, in your philosophy and the differences that you highlight of all the ways you are parenting differently over in Denmark than we do here. And I know it's a much smaller country, and, you know, there's definitely a lot to be said, I think, for, you know, there's so many variables, I think, that make it all different. But it's so interesting to me. We just did an episode last week where I was saying that we just moved into a new house and it's a new school year. I was saying, I really want to just try to be more positive. We're in the middle of this pandemic. We have, you know, been struggling so much mentally, and it's physically exhausting. And I was just saying, I want to be more positive. And everything that I see you post, I'm always like, I want to do that. I got to do that. So I just find it so interesting. Can you tell everybody just a little bit about yourself and your background?
Okay, I can do that. And thank you so much for the kind words. Well, my background, I'm a teacher, and I've been teaching for 10 years. I don't teach anymore. That's 10 years ago, or more than that. I educated myself into a psychotherapist, which I've been working with for many years as well. And I have my private counseling, and I'm married with a Morten, and we've been together for 22 years, I think. We have two children, Ida and Julie. They are teenagers. Yeah. Big teenagers, I would say. And I grew up with my mother. My parents were divorced when I was 3 years old, but they have always had a really good relationship, my parents. So that has meant a lot to me. My philosophy is what I've written in my book. It's based on my values, how I grew up with a lot of free play. I live in an authentic way, I believe. I have always been light at heart, if you can say that. So reframing things into more positive outputs is very easy for me. And then I'm a huge fan of empathy. That's some of the values or approaches that I find most valuable to actually
raising kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
we need to be more kind to ourselves and to each other and to our children. And so that's basically my values and what I believe in.
When you say you're more authentic, because I feel like that's a word right now, especially in the United States with a lot of books and podcasts and social media, it's a word that we use a lot. When you use the word authentic and say that you're authentic, what does that mean to you?
To me, it's being honest about the life we live. Also the difficult and inevitable, you know, so I want my children to be able to handle ups and downs, and they can do that if they have been faced with that. I mean, life isn't always a fairy tale. So I believe that we should teach our children some of the tools to deal with the challenges. And we do that by being honest and authentic in our way to approach them and to approach ourselves in life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you say on your Instagram and in your book and everything that, you know, from the time, I feel like in Denmark, from the time kids are little, parents over there make sure that kids are much more independent, I think, than we do over here. There's not as much, you know, we coddle, I think, our kids to such a huge extent. And from the time that they're little over there, I think it's different.
Absolutely. That goes along with our approach in the free play. Because when children are allowed to play freely, they are also testing their boundaries all the time. And when they do that, they get a feeling of agency in what they do. So they will feel more secure in being who they are, knowing that they can master something on their own. So even though it doesn't seem like that when they do, when they crawl in trees or jump in the water or whatever, they are all the time practicing life skills, and that means a lot to us, and that makes our children and adolescents very independent, because they know that they can master life in some sort of way by themselves.
So when you say by themselves, because I think here when our kids are playing a lot of times at the park or, you know, outside, if they're playing outside right now, we do a lot of that's too high, don't climb that high, or don't play with that stick, you're going to poke somebody, or there's a lot of that here, or, you know, that's dangerous what you're doing. How is it different over there in that regard? Are you guys as concerned about, you know, I think parents over here are really, we're on top of our kids all the time to the point of we don't want them to get hurt, you know, and obviously nobody wants their kids to get hurt, but a little bit, it's beneficial. So is there, are you talking about when you say you're letting your young kids go out and, you know, play in the water and climb trees and all this stuff, is your philosophy with all of that sort of, you know what, they need to learn that they might fall down and, you know, they might scrape themselves and they might get hurt, but it's going to be okay?
Yeah, basically. Of course, we support them and we don't leave them all by themselves. But I think it's very important that we trust in our children, because if we trust that they can manage and try out some new things by themselves, according to the proximal development, they will trust in themselves too. So if we start by saying, don't do this and jump there and be careful, then we unintentionally learn them or teach them that we don't believe that they can actually master it themselves. So it's much better to educate and teach them how to do and support them. Let say, yeah, that is, I can see that you are doing it really well. listen for their initiatives to actually know where are their next zone of development. So that is, instead of, you know, being afraid of letting them fall down, I mean, if it's not very scary or it's not something that can cause them a lot of damage, it's part of being a child. That's, I did a lot of that on my own as well, or with my friends when I was a child. So we just tested a lot of things and jumped over, water, and you know, did a lot of things on our own.
I think we did too here. I don't quite know. I know when I was growing up, there wasn't nearly the supervision with parents that there is now. And I feel the same way. I feel like when I was younger, you know, I was riding bikes, you know, all throughout the town and everything. At some point, things changed here. And I think it just got more and more that if you're not on top of your kids, you're not being aware and, you know, and responsible parent. But I think that that's gotten kind of like confused over the years that we're starting to relate to helicopter parenting with good parenting.
Yeah, I totally understand that. And we also see a kind of the same here, not in the same level, I think, but still. And I think there are many reasons to that. I mean, society has changed. There are a lot of things going on in the world and a lot of things to be scared for. So I also understand why we just don't let our children play freely. But I think it's also because that we haven't really understood why it's so important to our children. Why we should allow them to handle things on their own. I mean, so we set up a lot of structured activities because then we feel that we are giving them what they need, because I think that we know unconsciously that play is very good. But, and therefore we feel more secure and by letting them go to football or dance lessons and so on. So so we set up those structured activities and they are really good. But if children, they don't get time to digest it by themselves on their own terms, it won't matter what they have been taught during the day. They need to make it their own in their own way. And they do that when they play freely, when they're bored. And so we need both. We need them to have time on their own to grow independently. But we also can facilitate a structured activities for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, out of 155 countries, Denmark ranks among the top three countries as far as happiness goes. And your education system ranks number two in the world. You guys have the shortest work week in the world, and you have free healthcare. You were the first country to allow same-sex partnerships. Like, when I read about Denmark, I'm just sort of like, why don't we all move there? It seems so incredible. It seems like a no-brainer. You just have such a, you know, you have an awesome system for postpartum. And one of the things that you talk about in your book is the fact that one of the big things about Denmark is that moms, when they have children, are supported in a way that they're not in other countries. New moms.
Yeah, we put a lot of effort into supporting especially moms, but also dads actually. But from the government, there's this midwife who comes to every family with a newborn. Most often it's a she, and she facilitates a group of other mothers in the neighborhood. We call them mothers groups, for mothers to meet and to share experiences and talk about giving birth, talking about how they are doing things in the same way or differently, you know, just supporting each other. So that is one thing that we are very good at Denmark. But basically, I think the conditions for new mothers here are very good. And I just think that, Denmark isn't any utopia, and we surely have our own internal matters to deal with here. But the basic core values, I think, works very well here.
Right. And we all know that when moms feel supported when their babies are younger, that, you know, they're happier and more energetic and healthier. And it just makes so much sense. And I think over here, you know, we try to do that, but we certainly don't think we have it down to, you know, to a science the way that you do. And I think that means a lot. And I think it boosts new moms' confidence in a way that's just, you know, incredible. Another thing that I wanted to talk about was the idea, you guys have this, talk to me about Hygge. Is it called, am I pronouncing it right? Hygge?
Hygge.
Hygge? Is that how you spell it? Is it Hygge, right? Hygge.
Yes.
Okay. Hygge. Okay. I when I looked it up, I saw different pronunciations. Can you talk to me about exactly what that is and why it's so important?
Yeah, of course. It's Hygge is a simple, meaningful way to foster a close bond with your children, I would say. So when you hygge, you put all aside and focus only on the present. And there's nothing about, I think there's something about genuine person-to-person interaction that's better for our well-being. And that's something that we are very good at here in Denmark.
How do you make that happen? Yeah, talk to me about how you make that happen, because I think we're all over here sitting, saying, you know, and also, you know, we are in the middle of this crazy reality of the pandemic, and we have teenagers who, if you tell them to sit down with you, don't want to, and it sounds in theory wonderful, but I think we're probably all saying to ourselves, yeah, it sounds awesome. I don't know that I could get my kids to do it.
I think it's like conscious decision on being positive and leaving all the stresses outside the door or outside the room, and wanting to be present in the moment, like fully present, wanting to connect, because when you connect deeply to another human being, I mean, you also, you open your heart and you create a close relationship and a very important contact with your children. So I think that if you really want to do it, you should think back on moments from your life with a lot of togetherness or coziness. I don't know if that's exactly the same, but in a way, go just with the most potent memory from your childhood, where you felt excited and grateful for being just where you were, surrounded by people who created this unique atmosphere with you. You know, you can just think about that. Where were you, and what did you do, and who was with you? And so I think that the answer will give you an idea of what hygge is. So when my children, they were small, when I picked them up in the afternoon, we always sat around our dining table when we came home, and I gave them a snack, and we talked about the day. And as a rule in kindergarten, the teachers there, they taught us that we shouldn't just ask them, how was your day? Because no children can really answer that. It's too big a question. So we should more just ask them about some specific things. So every day in the kindergarten, the teachers, they had put up a little story about what they did that day, just to pre-frame us on how the day was going, so we could more easily ask our children about something specific. So it's just me being present with my children, having a cozy and a nice moment together, sharing the day's experiences, lighting a candle, playing a game, listening to some music, or just lying on the floor. That's very hyggeligt. Mm-hmm. So it's not that, you know, it's not that difficult. And I believe so strongly that if you give your children, it can take like 10 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour, you will fill up their cup of mommy attention. And they will feel that they have connected with you. You have all the time, you have to remember that when your children have been away from you, they need to feel connected with you when they see you. And very often we don't really realize that this is very important for our children. They have been at work as well. They are exhausted. There has been so many things for them to think about, or new challenges, etc. So when they see you, they need to feel safe and connected and relaxed. And we do that with just using some time to connect deeply with them, being present fully. So that is hygge.
I love it. I think it sounds amazing. Of course, I know that when you do that, there's no electronics, no television. It's just talking or snuggling or just being close, right? Like we're not talking about sitting and watching a movie or something.
No, nothing like that. No tablets, no nothing, no electronics, no nothing. Only the presence of you together.
Mm-hmm. I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are the electronics and the phones and, you know, the video games and everything over here, it is, you know, it's a huge issue for us as parents. I mean, especially right now while we're all feeling so overwhelmed with, first of all, having our kids home all the time. And, you know, it's been a lot, and it has been in some ways a savior to have, obviously, that sometimes, you know, during the lockdown, the only social connection they were getting was over electronics and everything. So on the one hand, you know, they obviously can be beneficial, but how is it all tackled differently in Denmark, with kids and electronics?
I think it depends very much on how stressed or low on energy we are as parents at first. Because, of course, it can be very helpful and a needed pacifier to let them just watch a movie on the television or sit with their iPhones or whatever. And that can be very good as well. One of my daughters, she has always relaxed just by watching television. And the other, she never watched anything. So it's very different. But I just think that we have to be aware of, is it our need for them to just, you know, put them away for a moment for us to do other things, or maybe we're too tired, too stressed, etc. Or is it their need, because it's very how do you say that? It's it is an easy way to get a break for everyone.
Yeah.
And I think that's also good. And I'm not against it at all. I just think that we have to set a frame for what's best for our children. So it can be very fine to use it in the afternoon when everyone is tired and just need to calm down. Otherwise, they can just go playing or be bored. I mean, it's a matter of how we set the frame. I think that's the most important thing. I have a lot of, especially boys, in my consultation, and they are addicted to screens and to some sorts of high reward games. And that's very, very difficult when they get so addicted to that. It's very difficult to find a substitute that can give them the same exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we just have to be very aware of it.
Right. So talk to me about boredom then, because that is always, I feel like kids are constantly, my kids, definitely, they're always coming to me. They say, I'm bored. And I, you know, my first reaction is, but you have all these toys and, you know, or you can watch something on TV, or, you know, you have so much to do. I think we then try to deflect it to, well, you can do A, B, and C. But you talk about how being bored sometimes, it can be a really good thing.
It is. I mean, it sounds crazy, maybe, I don't know, but it is. It is really, I think some of the best memories from my own childhood, I did nothing. I just lay in the grass, looking up on the sky, doing nothing. I mean, again, it's in this hectic life we live today, I think boredom is more important than ever, because there are so many stimulations all the time. And so when my children come to me and say they are bored, or when they were little, I would just say, okay, you know, it's okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't come up with any solutions for them to do anything. It's okay to be bored. Just go to your room and be bored. Maybe you see what happens, because there are a lot of studies who show that when you are bored, creativity will arise. You will start getting new ideas. You will build caves in your room, and you will draw beautiful paintings, and you know, getting ideas of what to do in a new way. So you're using your own mind instead of getting all those stimulations from outside. So that's why it's so important. And I know so many parents who comes to me and say, what shall I do? But the point is, you shouldn't do anything. And it is a process, of course, because our children today, they are so dependent on being guided into a lot of things. But eventually they will pick it up, and they will not feel uncertain or stressed because they don't know what to do. They will start feeling calm and just let it be like a moment for them to do whatever they want. So I wouldn't be afraid of it. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Talk to me about the adult-child relationship in Denmark. And I think that it's a different kind of dynamic, how you speak to your children over there, how you act towards them. It seems almost as if there's more of, you know, this sort of, I don't know, like this sort of equal balance. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would say that, yes. Well, I think that we see our children as equals in a way that we are equals as human beings. But of course, we carry the responsibility being their parents. And there's a huge difference. I mean, you can still have 100% respect for your children and still taking owning the responsibility and creating a safe frame for your family. So I think that one of the things that I have always focused extremely on in the way I parent is my relationship to my children. And I do believe that is why I have teenagers now that I really count on, and they are good girls, and they still listen and still use me or their dad for advice, and they come to us with everything. So I always say that I would put a lot of effort into creating a close and respectful and also authentic, but just a true connection with my children, because it makes them feel safe as well, that they know that they can come to you no matter whatever they have on their mind.
Does some of that mean at an earlier age? You know, a lot of times I think, especially right now where the world is such a crazy place, and in the United States, you know, we've been dealing with not only COVID, but, you know, all of this racial tension, and, you know, there are the wildfires now out in California, and we have all this political stuff going on. Does some of that mean trusting our kids when they're a little bit younger to be able to understand what's really going on in the world?
I think it's, I think that having a good relationship with your children also means that you communicate with them in an honest and sincere way. That is not the same as you should explain them everything, not in details. And it's always depending on their age, of course, how much you should involve them in what's going on. But I do believe that when we live in this crazy world with so many scary things going on, we also need for them to put words on what's going on, because I know so many children who feel afraid and feel anxious and scared because they haven't been involved in any talks about what's going on. So they create their own fantasy world, and that's often very scary. So we should definitely tell them about what's going on, but not in too many details, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know of children that doesn't want to breathe. I mean, right now, they don't want to breathe because they have been told that COVID is in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine just being a small child, knowing that you can get really, really sick or die if you take in the air.
Mm.
Children, they don't understand the levels, the nuances in all this. So I know of a child who doesn't want to breathe anymore. And I have experienced children who get nightmares, stomach aches. How do you say that? Separation anxiety, or they just withdraw mentally, or, you know, get meltdowns, hits in this period we're living in right now. And I think one of the things that we should be aware of as parents is we shouldn't let our children know that we are scared too, if we are, because they will mirror our feelings. So if we say to them, I'm scared too. This is horrible. This is terrifying. This is, you know, if they listen to news or pick up things from school or the supermarket everywhere, it's so important that we remain calm. They need us to be their solid foundation in this. So if we are scared and if everything is horrible for us and we feel anxiety ourselves, we should leave that talk to our partner or to other adults. And still, how to say that? And still make sure that our children know that they are safe, that they are safe with you, that you feel calm, that this is just for a period, this is just for time, and they just need to, you know, wash hands, like they brush their teeth, like in a normal way. Mm-hmm. I hope it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I also think, though, I mean, you know, just the nature of things, that sometimes in this situation, you know, we are crying and, you know, we are sad, and it is hard to, you know, to be calm sometimes when it, you know, it all feels so overwhelming. So I definitely totally agree with the safe space thing. But I do also think that it's really hard sometimes to hold it all together when your kids are home 24/7, you know?
Sure. I know don't misunderstand me. I know this is very, very difficult, and we can't just all stay calm and say it's easy to be in this. I know it's very chaotic and it's very difficult, and I 100% respect that. And I am an authentic person, so I can't hide how I feel. It's not like we should hide in that way how we feel. It's just that our children need us to tell them that it will get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the optimistic side of it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can give our children a feeling of responsibility in this chaos, that is a very good tool for them to master in all that uncertainty that exists right now. Mm. And that can be small things like writing a letter for their grandparents, or, you know, it doesn't really need to be a lot. Just, you know, drawing something beautifully, and small things that give them a feeling that they
contributing.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've done that a few times. We did, you know, we've sat down with the kids and done, you know, where they each chose somewhere during all of this, especially even before this, with when the wildfires were happening in Australia and everything. And then when we were having the Black Lives Matter, we all sat down and did, we gave them each, you know, an amount of money to donate to the cause that they wanted to donate to. And I think that was really, I think that went a long way with them. And one thing that was surprising to me after was that the causes that they gave to, they were sort of checking in with those places after, because they were, you know, they felt sort of like they had an investment in it. So yeah, I do. And I love the idea of, you know, that right now with there are all these nursing homes and everything of people who are so lonely that absolutely they could be drawing a picture and sending it. I love all that for sure. I want to just go back one time to the, tell me, Higa.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Because this to me is one thing that I'm so determined to do in this new house that we have now, in this new home, where I'm trying to instill these sort of new practices that I think that we sort of let go to the wayside over the last couple years. Let's say that as a mom, we want to create this period let's say it's not even every day, because it's so hard right now. Let's say it's, you know, once a week or once every other week, a period of an hour or two with our kids where we just be, like you said, and but we need some directions and we need to help, you know, someone to help us sort of facilitate it. Can you walk me through that as someone who's never done this in our house, how we can make that happen, and what that should look like.
I'll try.
Yeah. You know, of course, I know, you know, it's going to look differently for everybody, but, you know, just even to say to our kids that this is what this is going to be. This is why we're doing it.
Okay. So if you never tried it before, I would put a lot of pillows or blankets on the floor and create a space there for you all to sit or lay down. That can actually be enough. And then invite the family, the children, and all in the family to come join at this place on the floor, just staying together there. You can draw on each other's back. You can have a little snack there. You can play a... You can continue, you can create a story where one starts and the second one creates the next part of the story, and the third one, the next part of the story, and you can create stories all together in a big collaboration. I don't know how you explain it in another way, but you can just stay on the floor, no tablets, no screens on, no nothing, just a place on the floor, a lot of coziness around.
I love the candles idea.
Yeah, the candles. I wouldn't put the candles on the floor, but I would always lit a fire if that's possible, because that's what we do a lot in Denmark. And I think it's a lot of candles who are sold in Denmark each year. So in this time where it's getting darker, you will light a candle and you can have some hot chocolate and a little snack, some apples or whatever you feel for. And then just making this like a area, just a space where this is where we are all together sitting right now and doing whatever we feel for. And I would sing, I would tell stories, I would... Laugh, do crazy things. You can also turn on some music and do some crazy moves if you are into that, and just have a moment together and see what arises from that. I mean, it's not it is a feeling that arises that's special and that's really connecting, and you will watch immediately on your children's faces and how they feel that this is good. Mm-hmm. They love those moments.
Right.
So that's one thing to do.
No, I love it. And I always say I want to do it. I'm going to do it and I'm going to report back and I'm going to tell you how it goes. Can you tell everybody where they can find you, because, you know, on social media and everything, because, I think it's so important right now, especially with everything going on, to know that there are, you know, that there are these ways to facilitate, you know, all these happy moments, and these that we're all so worried about our kids' growth being stunted right now and their maturity being stunted in their life, and, you know, that they're not getting to do 100 extracurricular activities. I love your philosophy on everything about how slowing down is okay, boredom is okay, these moments are good even. So where can everyone find you?
Yeah, I do believe if it's here, it's probably here for a long time, so we have to find a balance in it. So I can be found on Instagram, and it's called The Danish Way, and I post daily parenting tips there. I can also be found on Facebook, also The Danish Way, or my name, Iben Dissing-Sandahl. So that's basically the social media platforms, also on LinkedIn, and they also have a website, ebensandahl.com. But I love Instagram, and I love the community around Instagram, because I think that's it's very kind community there. Yeah.
I love Instagram too. It's my favorite.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's great. Well, I want to thank you so much. We will put all your, you know, everyone can find you. I will put your links on our website and on our Instagram and everything. And I thank you so much. Everything you say makes me feel calmer, and I can't wait to try to instill some of this, you know, in our lives right now as we're sort of starting fresh in this new school year and everything. So thank you so much.
You are welcome. It's a pleasure always.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Bye. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
Thank you.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.